Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and I am recording today. It is Monday, September 3rd, and it is hot as balls out. I am in my room right now. It's just freaking hot. Oh, by the way, it's just me today. I was thinking about who I wanted to have on this week, and I just decided I'm going to do just me. I was thinking about bringing my podcasting equipment to I was in Atlantic City this past weekend, so I was thinking about bringing it with me, and then I was just like, no, I'm going to be worried about it the whole time, because the equipment is worth a decent amount of money, and I was like, if I bring it, even if I try to not care about it, part of my brain will be with the equipment the whole time, and like, I'm pretty good at this point at trying to make my life less complicated, especially when it comes to like emotionally or psychologically, so I was like, no. I'll just enjoy myself and not worry about my equipment the whole time. So it's just me. I want to first talk about, so in the headlines for the Aretha, however you fucking say it, Aretha Franklin, for her like memorial service thing. The pastor there, like he called Ariana Grande back after she sang. He's like, come back. And he like went and gave her this hug or something, and it was like really gropey and creepy, and you there's like pictures of it online, be like kind of like grabbed half her boob, like the under boob, and you know, people have different opinions on it, but one of the things he said is like he apologized for being quote unquote too friendly, and that's what really got me, is like, that's not too friendly, everyone, that's too fucking creepy. Okay, this is the kind of bullshit that we all need to start calling out for real, because someone will overstep their boundaries, right? They'll do something, and when you're like, hey, that felt off, or I didn't like that, they're like, what? I'm just being friendly. And it's like, that shit needs to stop. Like, there's a fine line between too friendly and too fucking creepy. And that dude was not being friendly. He was literally impermeating her energy field, okay? And that's, people like to do that in a dominating kind of way, but think about when you're like a kid and your uncle or your aunt is like giving you too much friendly hugs, or, you know, like when you want physical space, you're allowed to say it, but when you're young, if you say something kind of bitchy to your aunt or uncle or whoever, your grandfather, grandmother, like, no, I don't want to be hugged. It's like, don't be rude, Katie. Or whoever, right? Don't be rude. Like, we're told that we're rude if we actually protect our physical space. So, and you can see Ariana's face in the thing. She's like, get the fuck off me. But yeah, I think we all need to stop with this whole fake, you gotta be nice bullshit, because it's like, you know, when someone is making you uncomfortable. And I'm sure a lot of people feel this even in their workspaces. Hopefully it's getting better, but like, no one should be talking to you super close. No one should be getting in your lap or in your space. Like, if someone really cares about you, they will give you actual physical talking space, unless there's like a real for real comfort and agreement to get closer. But a lot of us are not operating. We're out of relationship with each other. So we're not operating from that place of like, what feels good for me, what actually feels good for them. And like, I don't know. At this point, when people get in my space, I'm like, well, okay, so I was in Atlantic City this weekend, four great shows, Friday and Saturday. It was awesome. A great experience. And I got to hang out with my two friends, Amy Lynn and Jessica Gray. We like walked down the boardwalk. It was just like so awesome. Like, I love being by the beach. We got to hang by the pool too. And then of course I got to work with amazing comedians this weekend. But now I forget what I was totally saying. Oh, now I remember. So after Friday night, after the show, I went out dancing for a little bit, and I'll tell you what, when someone started getting up in my space, I told him what the fuck was up. Like, I don't care about being polite, quote unquote polite, because I am polite. But I'll tell you what, if you're getting up in my space, or if you're trying to hit on me when I've made it abundantly clear I'm not interested, then guess what? I get to be a quote unquote bitch now. And the reason why I'm saying quote unquote, it's not really a bitch. It's me putting up a protective device of like, yo, I told you I'm not interested. Stop hitting on me. Okay. And us women and men both equally have the right when we are feeling uncomfortable to say it. We need to stop worrying about hurting everyone else's feelings and start taking care of ourselves. Because that's going to help bridge the gap into this new paradigm that we're going into, where we actually speak our truth. It's, and I did not make up this term, it's love with bones. If you cannot stand up for yourself, then you're not going to be able to enter any kind of relationship from a place of wholeness, because you're going to be excluding the part that's saying, get away from me. You have to be able to say, you have to be able to tell someone when they are really in your space and they're not respecting boundaries, or they're not getting the picture. A lot of people have really convenient amnesia when they want to, or delusions when they want to. And it allows them to override other people's boundaries and their own boundaries as well. So it's time, because we're all in this together, that we start kindly calling each other out on this stuff. If someone's making you uncomfortable, you can say it kindly, or if you don't want to say it, you can completely walk away as well. Everyone has the right to do what makes them comfortable. You have the right. And the problem is that a lot of us on a deep level do not feel that we have the right. And once again, this is linked to personal and spiritual freedom. We all want the freedom to be ourselves, even if it's not polite or always happy or whatever. And it's funny because I watched the first episode of Disenchantment on Netflix, and it's amazing. It's an animated series, and they were just getting into a lot of the stuff that I talk about, including there's this like little elf village where all they do there is be quote unquote happy, even though it's not real. But one of the elves leaves because he's like, I don't want to just always have to be happy if I'm not happy, you know? And I feel like there's a lot of commentary on some of these communities in our entire society, actually, where it's like, oh, we have to look happy and unaffected. Like, that shit is starting to go. Like, I don't know. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast constantly, I'm sure you're feeling the evolution and ascension of a lot of us and what we're going through. But what I'm feeling is this deep desire to fucking be happy already, to be free, to speak our truth, to stop holding back. Okay? And I personally cannot take people who are being so inauthentic. Like, I can't, I don't have the energy to keep up with their facade, because their facade, if I want to play in that realm with them, it costs me so much energy. And I just, you know, adaptability is amazing. On one hand, adaptability has the positive and the negative to it, you know. And for me, the negative is like, I used to shapeshift so much to make other people comfortable, and I just can't do it anymore. I don't have the energy. And honestly, a lot of times I'd rather just fucking lay in my bed doing nothing than go out to a social gathering if it's going to be filled with people that are just doing small talk. And thankfully, I'm not really invited to many of those kinds of things anymore. I feel like back, like even 10, 12 years ago, I would go to more of those things. Like a lot of times, like work happy hours, you're not always able to talk about your depression or physical ailments that are happening or whatever. But like, I just, if I'm not feeling happy, I want to be able to say it. And luckily, because I'm a comedian and a healer, I do have a decent amount of people who I think I can be super honest with. But I know that a lot of you who are starting to really shift into this place, it can feel lonely. And I have to tell you, a lot of us are feeling lonely and isolated on this journey as we wake up. And it's linked to us not knowing how much of our truth we can actually share. So just work with that space. Work on being more communicative. Work on maybe getting a therapist or a healer if you don't have one. But you need support on this journey. And you can't hold in the truth or your pain or your anger or your sadness. It becomes too much. And also, when we hold in those emotions that much, guess what? They often become physical ailments. So we have to start, like, it's becoming crucial that we really need to support each other and talk about what's really, really going on in the surface, even if it's not pretty. Because a lot of the times, the deep subconscious stuff that we're not really wanting to share, almost even with ourselves, it's not always the prettiest thoughts, right? The subconscious, it's the animalistic primal thing that we all have rooted deep within. You include it, you bring it in. Once again, I always say this, acting out on those impulses, a whole other story. So that's what I'll say about that. I took notes, so I'm seeing what is next. And it links to social media stuff. Like, I cannot at this point hit like on people's shit if it looks so obviously fake. And a lot of times people don't even know. I could just look and I'm like, oh, that's like a staged thing. Like, I'm done. Like, people want to feel the realness. And we can tell when things are staged on a deep level. And I'm talking even celebrity stuff. Like, I'm sick of fake social media presences. And look, I work on this stuff with myself too. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, I'm posting and not really sharing the depths of the sadness I'm working through, etc. But I try my best, especially on here and on this podcast, to share as much as I can while being respectful to myself and others, because I've tried to let everyone know that this journey is not just roses and unicorns and rainbows or whatever. Because, and I love those things. Trust me, I have fucking stickers everywhere in my room of like glitter hearts and unicorns and all sorts of that stuff. However, I'm pretty open that this journey, true non-duality, includes the light and the dark. And it's so funny because even in Disenchantment or Disenchanted or whatever it's called, Disenchantment, I think, they have like a cartoon demon in it. And it's actually, in a sense, quote unquote, humanizing the demon, because even the way we talk about demons or Lucifers, because demons are really also just your subconscious. Like, bring everything into the light. Like, let everything be what it is. It is what it is anyway. So you might as well just look at it and own it, because the truth is almost all of us, because it's a collective thing and we're all one, we're all in this shit together. So our demons are collective, whether you like it or not. And Lucifer isn't this fucking scary thing that everyone thinks it is, the way that the church talks about it. And when I say the church, I don't mean all churches, but I'm talking about on the whole. Okay. It's a lot of this, like, these scare tactics. I remember, so I used to be an art teacher. I took a ton of art history classes, and Gothic cathedrals were purposely built to be really huge and vast because they were supposed to look intimidating to the people walking in. So they felt so much less than God. It's bullshit. You're not less than. We are all facets of God. We are all God walking around in these human vessels. So, like, we don't have to feel like shit just for being a physically manifested human. Like, we all have these vasanas, these imperfections, these threads that allow us to be here. The threads include these dark places. You need both the light and the dark to even be here. So there's no point in like carrying the shame over being an imperfect being. Like, it's all good. And we're all in this together. And I'm still working on this because, like I said, I often feel isolated on this journey and misunderstood, but I'm trying my best to reach out more and more and share with people, you know, what's really going on in the deepest parts of myself. But it can be really hard for everyone to show your hidden parts when you're scared of being rejected and not accepted or made fun of, all the things that basically happened to us growing up in our childhood, whether it was in the public school system or private school or your parents, peers, whatever. And bullying still goes on with adults in our own ways. So this is for all of you brave warriors out there speaking your truth and trying to bear your souls as best you can. It is not easy. Talking about bearing souls, someone who is not doing that is comedian Louis C.K. And I talked about what happened on a past podcast with Ritu Chandra. So Louis C.K., obviously a well-known comedian, blah, blah, blah. So he's a well-known comedian. who was known for, and it finally came out, some women that would go on tour to open for him, he would like corner them in a room and like whip his dick out and start masturbating, like while blocking the doorway out. So that is full on sexual assault. Let's not get that twisted. Just because he didn't physically touch them, that is physical assault. That is terrifying. So obviously when this came out, I don't know when, a year ago, less than a year ago, whatever, he stopped going on stage, which is good. Now, he has been at the Comedy Cellar. He's been getting up on some stages again. And here's the thing. I am not completely against Louis C.K. doing comedy again. What I don't like is that he's going up and not fully addressing the situation or making amends for what happened. And it's bullshit. Like, here you have this comedian who's supposed to be known for like bearing it all, and he's going up and not even addressing this thing. Like, how fucking uncomfortable is that set? And don't, like, who can like sit and watch and laugh knowing what he did and knowing that he has yet to really make amends for it? Like, it's pretty unbelievable. So, and my friend Candy Clare, she's the booker at Stand Up New York, she wrote this amazing thing on Facebook about why she personally wouldn't book him. And I just really agreed with a lot of it. You can find her. I don't know if it's a public post or not. She also has an Instagram, so find her. She's amazing. You'll find her if you want to. But I just really agreed with it. It's like, until this dude, like, this dude did some gnarly shit. Like, he should not be able to grace the stages of New York City until he, like, first of all, addresses it. I don't care if there's humor in it. As long as he's honest and really explains the behavior and what the fuck he was thinking, and we can actually feel that he's apologetic and healing that wound for real. Like, I'm all about forgiveness, but forgiveness isn't about, like, you know, sweeping things under the carpet or not addressing the elephant in the room. Address the fucking elephant in the room. Hopefully it's Ganesha. That's like a spiritual joke. Ganesha is the remover of obstacles. It's like the elephant deity in Hinduism. Anyway, but like, that was such a corny joke. But my point is like, true spirituality, true humanity isn't about sweeping all this shit under the carpet. Just because you sweep something under the carpet doesn't mean it's actually pretty, okay? It'll still smell like shit eventually. So just tell the truth, everyone. Like, easier said than done. I get it. I'm working on it too. But like, it's so much cooler to just be like, here are my demons. Here's what I'm working on. Here's what causes me pain. We are all so connected in this and struggling similar. We're struggling and we're fighting similar battles. So the more we can open up, the more we'll be surprised. Like, oh, you're going through that too. That's amazing. So those are my thoughts on Louis C.K. But it also links back to that whole too friendly versus too creepy. I'm sure most women who've been sexually assaulted or just assaulted in another way, whenever you bring it up to one of these perpetrators, like, their first excuse is this, like, oh, I was just being too friendly. You just don't know how to read kindness. It's like, no, there, once again, there's a difference between being too friendly and overstepping boundaries and making someone uncomfortable. Okay. And we fucking know what's up. So if someone's making you uncomfortable, you are allowed to draw boundaries. And yes, fear is going to rise up. Oh my God, am I being mean? Am I being rude? What if I'm misreading the situation? Doesn't matter. Feel into your body. If your stomach's crunching, if you're getting anxiety, if your body quells up, if you feel like a certain hate or anger or rage in your body when someone gets near you, listen to that. Your body has so much intelligence in it and it knows what's up. So start listening to your bodies, trusting your intuitions, and things will start to change and shift. Okay, what else did I want to talk about? It's so funny. I forget how I found this, but like a while ago when I put in my name to Google, and yes, I Google myself, who the fuck doesn't, someone has like taken pictures of my feet. So if I like post a picture where my feet are in them, even just a little, like people have like zoomed in on my feet and like posted them. And they did it with like a lot of my friends too. So I don't know if you guys know, there's like a wiki feet or just like, I don't even know what the hell it's called, but some people have foot fetishes. I'm not against it. Like, whatever, but I do think it's kind of weird and kind of funny that people have taken some of my photo. One of the photos is like me with Shane, like my kid, and they like scribbled out Shane's face, I guess, because they didn't want to like make it weird with putting a kid in it, but it's still fucking weird that you squiggled out my son and then like zoomed in on my feet. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is this how, like, I don't know, whatever. Like appreciative in some weird way. No, I'm not at the, here they go. I'm not appreciative. That's fucking creepy. It's fucking creepy. If I post a picture and my feet are in it, okay, you want to look at my feet and appreciate it? Like, whatever. I can't stop you from doing that. But like, to like crop out my son and zoom in, that's fucking weird. I don't know. Okay, let's talk about twin flame love, I guess. I always talk about it because it's about freedom. That's what I love so much about this. It's the ultimate freedom. It's about meeting yourself in this plane, in this earth realm. You get to see a walking embodiment of who you are, in a sense, in another body. And yes, do other people, look, everyone in a sense is a mirror, but you still have a person who's like your ultimate divine mirror. And with them, there's just so much growth to be had. And there's just like limitless possibilities and abundance. And it's like, it's just the most crazy, amazing connection. And I've gotten to a place in my life where I don't want to settle for anything other than that. Like, it's not even possible for me at this point. It's like completely linked to spirituality and ascension and all this stuff. Let's see. Okay. I want to talk about people's relationships to food and to other things like weed, drinking, yoga, sex, whatever. You can put anything in there. And I was taught this by another person, by the way. And I don't want to say taught, but like there was a person in my life who really influenced me with this belief. And I had to do a lot of work around this. But like everything is about your relationship to the thing, to the person. And I know I've said this before, but it's like people are trying to live life like there's one fucking way to do things. There's one diet to have. There's one way to do yoga or to work out or to lose weight. Or there's one way to have a marriage or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. This journey is about figuring out what's right for you. So for me with food, not just like diet in the sense of like weight and all that, but even just like vegetarian, vegan, whatever, everyone loves giving their input on what my diet should be. And I just have to say, like, I have worked my ass off. I used to be someone, especially in college, I used to count all my fucking calories. I was a workout maniac. I passed out at the gym once. I worked out so hard. Okay. I counted all my calories. It became a nightmare. It was a prison to live in until I finally said, fuck it. I'm not living this. I'm not living like this. I literally ripped up all the fucking calorie counting things and I just refused to do it. And eventually my relationship to food, it took years, healed, where I just started feeling into my body what I wanted to eat and including whatever shame came up around it. But ultimately, I eat whatever the fuck I want to eat. And honestly, I feel good about my weight. Even if it goes up sometimes or down sometimes, like I'm in charge of my diet. And I think a lot of people's weight issues are actually because they're feeling so much anxiety or pressure around diet and they're just not allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. So those of you who want to listen to this message, do whatever the fuck you want to do. And if you want to go on a diet, and if you want to do the Sugar Busters diet or the Atkins diet or only eating gluten diet, do you. Once again, this journey is about figuring out whatever the fuck works for you. And you can change your mind every day, a million times a day. It doesn't matter. It's your life. But I really had to learn that, not just with food, but like I've talked about the weed stuff. I used to feel so bad every time I smoked weed. I felt like I was fucking smoking meth, okay? Until I finally was like, yo, I'm allowed to do what I want to do, for real. And I don't mean like, yeah, is it illegal? Yeah, but barely. Do you know that's going to be legal soon in New Jersey? Thank the freaking Lord. I can't wait. What are the people going to do who've been so like wanting weed to be illegal forever? They're just going to be like, ugh, people need to chill the fuck out, honestly. So yeah, just know that this is with working out, gambling, porn, everything. It's about your relationship to it. And only you can feel into what is healthy for you and what is right for you. As long as you are not purposely hurting someone or intentionally, it's fine. Eat what you want to eat, people. I want to talk about tattoos. As I've talked about this before, I'm getting tattooed. I'm getting a full sleeve. It's going to take time. You know, so it's taking time, whatever. It's looking beautiful, in my opinion. But tattoos really do allow us to touch our mortality, in a sense, because when you're getting tattooed, you're like, oh, like, this is forever. And you're like, no, it's not forever, because I'm going to die and my body's going to perish. Like, it's something that really takes you into that place. And that's why I think, in a sense, they feel so badass when we see them, because when you get them, you're almost facing your mortality, whether you're conscious of it or not. It's like a badass thing. It's like, yo, I've been inked for the length of this life, you know, unless you get it removed and stuff, but you get what I'm saying. So tattoos are pretty fucking badass. Honestly, by the way, I might do half of the podcast today and then do the other half tomorrow. I don't have that much energy in the tank, and I might for real like do half, and I'll let you know, but I'm going to finish what's on my list, and then maybe I'll pick it up and do more tomorrow. It doesn't come out anyway till whenever, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever I feel like. I want to talk more about the subconscious. The subconscious is, once again, the deep place within ourselves that we often don't want to face or listen to because it makes us feel bad. I have a joke about it where it's like when you're eating something and a friend goes to take some without asking, and like the part of you that like doesn't want to fucking share wants to bite their hand off. It's like a very primal, animalistic place. And like, we all have to start looking at our subconscious and including it and acknowledging it exists. It's okay. You are not, it doesn't own you unless you let it own you. You can just listen to it. Once again, we all have these places with them. I also want to talk about Machine Gun Kelly. I didn't know very much about him, and then today I listened to his rap song called Rap Devil. It's like a diss track to Eminem, because Eminem did Rap God, and everyone knows I'm a big fan of Eminem. Have yet to listen to his newer album. I listened to one song. It was good, you know. But Machine Gun Kelly's song Rap Devil, honestly, I thought it was fucking sick. He has bars. There's heat behind it. It's like, I was like, damn. Like, I was impressed. I'm not trying to pick sides between him and Eminem at all. I also think he has beef with G-Eazy, and I actually love G-Eazy and Halsey. They're together. I do think they're twin flames. I'm pretty sure. Almost 100% there. But yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out because Machine Gun Kelly, he's fucking tight. Like, he's an amazing, incredible rapper. And I know I'm just catching on now to that, but I just really liked his Rap Devil song. Not because I'm picking his side over Eminem's. I really honestly don't even give a fuck about that, because I think they're both insanely talented, including G-Eazy. But man, whatever fire Eminem elicited in Machine Gun Kelly is like beautiful. And Machine Gun Kelly, he's hot too. Like, I was just so impressed by that video. And in another video, Loco, Pete Davidson is in it with him. And I just thought it was really great. And I obviously think Pete and Ariana Grande are twin flames. And I just love what goes on with them. And yeah, I hope Pete scared that pastor a little bit who grabbed her underboob. I'm sure he did. Pete's a badass, you know. I don't really talk to him much anymore. We kind of came up in comedy together. Haven't talked to him in years. But he's a good fucking dude. But he's also a badass. So I hope he scared the pastor even a little bit. And then I guess the last thing I'll say for now, and then I'll do another half hour tomorrow and put it all together. But, I guess the other thing I'll say for now is just, there are a lot of people right now that are trying to stir up drama because as things shift, they don't know how to sit with themselves. So they'd rather try to like pick at the external world or whatever. If someone in your life or some people in your life are trying to stir up drama and you ain't having it, just sit it out. Literally, it would be way more fun for you to just sit home, have some wine, you know, take a hit of weed or whatever you'd fucking say, or whatever you want to do. Go to a spin class. But like, if it's between engaging people and being in someone else's drama or sitting by yourself and waiting the storm out, wait out the storm. It's just not worth it. And it's never personal. People are going through major shit because we're going through major, major changes. And if someone's bringing drama to you, whether it's a family member, a friend, someone trolling you on the internet, you're allowed to just disengage, and you're allowed to delete and block any fucking comments you get. Okay. That's another thing. And I talked about it a little bit last time. You do not have to be bullied into keeping up any negative comments on your Facebook. And sometimes the comment looks like it should be nice. Like someone wrote all the right things, but the energy behind it feels fucking off and weird. You have every right to not hit like on it or to get rid of it or whatever you want to do. This is your life. Do what makes you feel comfortable and follow your fire. So I'm going to stop the podcast for now and I'll do more tomorrow. But by the time you hear this, the whole thing will be together. But this is the first time I'm like, I'm just going to honor my energy resources and but I'll be back and we'll see what I want to say for tomorrow. All right. Hey everybody, I'm back. I did not wait till the next day. It is still Monday, the 3rd, Labor Day. I took Jada for a walk. I feel rejuvenated. So I'm going to continue the podcast but look how I listened to my body and stopped podcasting when I felt my energy dying. So there you go. There's the lesson. Don't fucking push yourself past your limits. Amen. So I want to talk about pain and loneliness. I kind of addressed it a little bit in the beginning, but once again, so many of us are in pain and we do not yet know exactly how to get through it. And there are so many different techniques and everything, but I think the first step is just acknowledging it. It's like, okay, I'm in pain. This doesn't make me fucked up or broken or whatever. And sometimes it's not pain. It could be anger, jealousy, sadness, or whatever emotion that you're having trouble processing, probably from childhood or who knows when. It could be a breakup you never fully processed or a death or anything. Also, I've noticed that I get physically tired when I hold back my feelings. And this is something I've yet to really fully work through because I actually, believe it or not, still hold back a lot of my emotion and what I'm thinking and going through. And I notice that when I'm holding back, I become very lethargic feeling. So those of you, well, some people get really lethargic and some people are used to really having to push it down and override their emotions. So some people, even like a shit ton of caffeine, like energy, like crazy energy drinks or a work schedule that leaves you no time to rest, that's like almost the opposite. Most people have not yet found the like balance of being able to really sit with their feelings and process them in a way where they are able to be productive in a way that's not, you know, because some people are workaholics where they get so attached to work so they don't have to sit in the silence. So I'm trying to find the balance and I'm not saying I've gotten there yet because when I'm not feeling able to really speak and tell people the kind of pain I'm in or whatever for various reasons, for me, I start to feel tired. And also I want to talk about, I had this crazy dream. I don't want to call it a dream. It was like a full night's dream in a sense. A couple nights ago when I was in Atlantic City, I was having these crazy zombie dreams. And I've had zombie dreams before, but there was a different quality to this one. And, you know, when I woke up, I was really feeling, in a sense, the zombies were not just places in myself that have yet to come to life, but it's often how I feel in our society for various reasons. It's like, there are many people who are refusing or not wanting to wake up and be in reality. And it's really interesting to navigate how you want to interact with people who are still stuck in old systems and navigating in a different way. And I would say, and I kind of said this before, is like, try your best to not engage in someone else's drama if that's possible. There's a way to speak your mind and hold your ground without having to lower your own vibration because, you know, often there's a place in us that wants to like go right in there and have justice or whatever we're saying. And karma is real. So justice and the balancing of energies will occur. But it's best if you can try not to put that on yourself. Because when you take on someone else's drama and then it becomes this like mission to get revenge or something like that, it just consumes your whole life. It's really not worth it in a sense. And that person, if they're doing something and hurting people, that's going to come back to them anyway. But yeah, our subconscious is often screaming. So if we're pushing things away that we're feeling or messages from the universe that are trying to come through, eventually your subconscious is going to scream. And a scream can come through in many ways because our inner world essentially has to match our outer world. Hold on. Jada, are you okay? Jada. What are you doing? Jada, what's going on? You okay? Guys, I'll be right back. Hold on. I'm gonna pause this and be right back. Jada was making an interesting sound. Hold on. Okay, I'm back again. You know what's interesting? I was talking about subconscious screaming, and then that happened with Jada, and honestly, I'll talk about it. So my ex-husband and Shane are in San Francisco. My ex-husband just got married a couple days ago. I really like the woman he married. I really do feel it's a blessing that she's in our lives, like for real. But I've been dog sitting Jada for most of the time, not the whole time, because when I was in Atlantic City, we had an amazing dog sitter. She's incredible. But for the most part, it's been me. And it's really fucking hard work. Like, people can act like watching a dog is nothing. It's a lot of energy. Even when I'm not walking her, my whole being knows she's here and knows that she has needs and that sometimes she's like bored. Like, when I can feel that she's bored, it like kills me. And I almost become a little resentful in some ways. There's like the subconscious place that like gets annoyed because as much as I really do love Jada, like she's amazing, but like Shane and Jason adopted her, and technically she's Shane's dog, and yet I feel that I'm oftentimes taking on a lot of the responsibility there, and that's my choice, and I want to do it because I love her and I want to make her life better. But sometimes I have to really listen to my subconscious when it hits like a point and it's like, okay, like you need to chill. Like, I know Jada wants more pets or cuddles or whatever, but like sometimes I just need a break. So here she was doing that thing. If it were up to her, I'd be giving her a dog massage 24/7, and just like, I feed her a lot of the human food I'm eating. So like, I try to mother her and give her as much as I can, but sometimes I'm fucking like done. Like, it's a lot of energy. And I'm trying to own that without, cause I always, and I know a lot of us do, I feel so shitty when I see those places that are like annoyed or tired. And yeah. Also, I've been thinking a lot about regret and how useless it is. If you took away one stone of your journey, the whole road would crumble. I did not make that up, but it's true. Okay. So there's a difference between regret and learning and embodying a lesson. So you can look from the past and go, oh, I don't want to repeat that mistake moving forward, but you don't have to like beat yourself up. Like, we're all for real humans on this journey, and we're learning about who we are and what we want. And you can't really know what sweet tastes like until you really know what bitter tastes like, until you can hold both and make space for a whole third thing to open up. Like, that to me is once again non-duality. And when we judge certain decisions or steps in our path and beat ourselves up, it really just kind of keeps you frozen in a place instead of moving forward. And this path in so many ways is about love and forgiveness to yourself and growth and just learning and connection. Which includes holding your ground, which I kind of talked about before. I mean, it's so important for you to stay true to your beliefs and what feels right for you, your own convictions. And if you're looking to the external world all the time to know what is right or wrong, you're going to get confused, because we can't base it on what the trend is for right or wrong. I mean, me too, just this past year became quote unquote trendy. You know what I mean? Like, and yet so many of us for years and years have been calling out these creepy motherfuckers, you know? So like, it's about time that we all just start, instead of seeing what's trendy, start really feeling into our own moral compass and into our own bodies about what feels right and wrong for us, and walking away from something if it doesn't feel right, if it feels toxic, even if it's not popular with the public opinion or something, Who cares? The public opinion can change one day from the next. You see how they treat famous people. One day they love you, the next they hate you. So you might as well just do what's right for you. And Machine Gun Kelly and his Rap Devil, one of his verses essentially was like, he was used to being hated. And there's a part of me that I could relate to where it's like being an outspoken woman or man or being very sensitive and speaking loudly about that. It has not been popular to be sensitive. And a lot of us can relate to that, especially those of you listening. I mean, you're listening to a podcast that combines comedy and spirituality for a reason. So most of you listening are probably real ass, raw people who are also very sensitive and open to whether it's aliens or spirits or just open in general to hear other people's beliefs. And once again, being open and sensitive is just now becoming popular. So you cannot wait for a feeling to become popular. I'm laughing because something is like literally flying around my room and hopping. It's like a mixture of like a cricket and a fairy. I swear to God. I mean, who knows what it really is? I don't need someone writing in being like, how'd you know it was a fairy? You know? Also, I think I said this before, but like there's an insane interview with Nicki Minaj on the Colbert Report. And like, it's so fire. It's like, the sexual chemistry between the two of them is crazy. So you guys need to look that up if you haven't. Like, I really secretly, not secretly, hope that they get together. And yes, I know he has a fucking family, whatever, whatever. But once again, everyone should follow their heart. I don't care if you're in a marriage, because if someone else, if you're in love with someone else, okay, the kids and the spouse that you're not in love with, they're not benefiting from having someone there if that person's not actually in love with them. We need to stop living from this place of obligations and the word honor. Like, I in the Titanic, when you rewatch it, when Rose wants to leave that fucking dude and he's like, you will honor me. It's like, stop with this bullshit with the obligations and the honor. And if you're trying to please your parents, or stop being so worried about letting other people down and worry about not letting yourself down. Like, that's where we need to get. Because once we're operating from that place, believe it or not, we're going to be letting so many less people down, because you're not going to be entering things from a place of forced connection. You're going to actually enter it if it feels right. And now what I think I'm going to do, I know this is going to be like a shorter podcast and I apologize, but I'm feeling fucking tanked. But I am going to read tarot cards for you guys. So first I'm going to pull from the typical tarot deck. I got this earlier. Hell yeah. It's the Shaman of Discs, which in the typical tarot or Rider-Waite deck would be the King of Pentacles. We are the creators of our reality. We are the masters of our own world, even though our worlds intersect and connect with other people's. We forget how much power we have. And I forget it. I accidentally slip into victim mentality all the time. But the truth is, and I've said this before, when you're not happy with the current now, the current reality you're creating, really come back into your body and ask, why am I creating this? What am I getting out of this moment? And trust me, today has been a particularly tough day for me. And if I ask myself that question, it's to learn the lesson that I've been talking about today of really being in my body, respecting myself, caring for myself, knowing my worth, knowing what I deserve. And it's hard to be in that place and yet still be battling a lot of self-doubt and, you know, for me, I talk a lot about following your heart, and I believe it, and I believe how powerful we are, and yet I still have doubts, and I get very impatient a lot of the time. I'm like, okay, like, where's my TV show, or where's my perfect relationship, or whatever. We can fall into so many different things, and the truth is when we come back to this moment and be as grateful as possible for how hard we've worked to even be here, something else shifts and can move forward. But I'm still working on this. All of these lessons are beautiful, but it's a whole other thing to actually embody them. And to embody them means, once again, sitting in the discomfort, sitting with yourself, sitting in stillness. But so many of us are trying to escape and distract ourselves that it's hard to ever fully, truly move forward if we're instead steeped in a vibration of like, can't sit in this loneliness, can't sit in this pain. And I know that the more I come in and know that the entire universe is within me, which is a quote from Rumi, a poet I love, the more magic can actually happen. So that's the first card. And the next one, let's see. Oh my God, I got this one too. Okay, I'm getting like all the same cards. Okay, spend more time outdoors. I know, universe. It says, thank you for motivating me to spend more time outdoors and for helping me relax and enjoy connecting with nature. A lot of us get so stuck indoors, especially when we're in a rut. And I am definitely one of those people. I like going outdoors with friends and stuff. And I often feel, you know, I'm in New Jersey, but like, I feel like only a couple of my close friends live like within 15, 20 minutes from me. And it just feels sometimes like such an effort to get to do that. But I have to remember, like, you know, I just went outside and took Jada for a walk and it did rejuvenate me. So like, even if all you guys have in yourselves is like to take like a 5-minute walk or walk outside for 10 minutes and touch a tree, breathe the air, let the breath go in and out, like just remembering sometimes to go out. And even like grounding is a real thing. So you can walk with bare feet on the grass, and that actually also does something to your system. So there are different ways to connect with nature, and I'll try to take my own advice tomorrow and have some more time outside. But once again, it's so much more fun to do that with a friend or even like a lover. Like, how cool is it when you're like madly in love, like looking up at the stars in the sky or the moon and just like going for a walk? Like, you know, it almost makes me ashamed to admit it, but I love doing those kinds of things with like a partner I'm madly in love with. Like, that to me, I know that's no excuse. Like, I should definitely go outside more on my own. But like, I get self-conscious sometimes, especially as I'm getting like my arm tattooed. Sometimes walking alone outside, like I get nervous. Like, I get some stares, or like sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to put on clothes that are like way more like mom looking. So I like walk outside, I put like a scarf around my shoulders. I try to like look as modest as possible while also being like, no, I'm a badass bitch. Like, I'm allowed to wear what I want to wear. But that doesn't mean I go out in like a bra and booty shorts. But anyway, all that stuff does affect my ease and going outside. It was so nice being in Atlantic City because I was staying at the Tropicana. That's where the show was. And I could literally just like walk outside and be on the beach, and like, I need to take more advantage of that next time. I got out a lot and walked the boardwalk a ton, but I would love to do even more. All right, and the last card is Saint Marie de la Mer, and it's adapt to a new situation, and it even has two flamingos in it. And I have a lot of stuff getting tattooed on me, but I have a tattoo of a flamingo on my arm. And I can't wait to share more about my tattoo, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till it's done a little bit more, till I really unveil the whole thing, but it's pretty intense. So adapt to a new situation. Sometimes we get so attached to a way a situation's supposed to look, and often God, Goddess, the universe has an even more beautiful plan for all of us and how everything can fit in with each other. And oftentimes our resentment, our pain, our jealousy can melt away into connection, unconditional love, friendship, opportunities. Like, there's so much at our fingertips once we actually tune into the vibration of abundance. But it's such a different frequency than what most of the collective are vibrating at right now. So like, let's go back to the zombie dream. It's like the zombie apocalypse, in a sense, is about sometimes being surrounded by people who are steeped in this other vibration and operating almost like in a daydream state. And you don't have, just because people around you are in that vibration, you can go within. You don't have to act out or attack those people. They're asleep. You don't need to, like, you know, shock them awake. But just by you kind of disconnecting in a healthy way and retreating kindly into yourself, you can flourish and something can move and change. And sometimes the resentments or the anger or the grudges or whatever it is that we've been holding on to, sometimes for years or lifetimes or whatever, they can melt into something else. You never know, like maybe someone from a past life like murdered you or you murdered them, or there's so many different situations that could happen, and maybe you're like still karmically healing some of those betrayals. But this is now a time in our collective for us to like really heal these deep, deep wounds and get to another place of going from survival and hate and revenge to another place of like, no, let's like really connect. And that doesn't mean fire isn't a good thing. Like fire and power and rage has its place too, for sure. And I'm all about channeling these things, especially into an art form, whether it's music, painting, writing, whatever. But it's really important that we know that abundance is really at our fingertips once we're ready for it. And the adapting to a new situation is like really getting used to something being even more colorful and more full than we could imagine. And sometimes it's hard to take in so much love when we're used to a lack kind of way of being or mentality. But the truth is there's so much magic in the world, and so much can change and shift even in a night, in a day, in a week. So just keep having faith, keeping hope alive, even just in yourself and your own ability to shape your life. We'll go back to the Shaman of Discs or the King of Pentacles. It's like you have so much power to shape your life. Don't be intimidated by other people's old belief systems into thinking you have no control or that you're a victim. Keep going. Every time you fall, rise up. That's Phoenix energy. Oh, you can always, always get up after you fall. Keep breathing. We often hold our breath and forget to breathe. Let the air flow in and out of your lungs. Like I have to do it right now. I'll do it with you guys. Because I forget. And it's really, really important to breathe and to remember you are not alone. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys have not checked out my album, check it out on iTunes or anywhere, really. There are so many places it's available, but you can buy it. It's 1111, or you can stream it. It's 1111. And you can also find me, put Kate Wolf into your Pandora station, and I can come up. And that way, if you like some badass female comedian streaming, that could be really fun for you as well. Check out my rap video, Labia Game. I have a website, thekatewolf.com. And if you would like a healing or a tarot reading, please reach out to me. They're $100. They're going to be going up soon. It's kwolf2f27@gmail.com. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.